Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 361 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, February 22nd. And tonight we're going to talk WandaVision. We're going to talk, well, Matt, did you even see it? Because you're giving me some eyes right now.
I was making a face while I was pulling my sock up, but yeah, I watched
that's,
it.
That's your sock face.
It's my sock face.
We're going to talk a little WandaVision. We're going to talk some Invincible trailer. And then we're gonna talk a very loose bit about Star Wars character. Who is our favorite Star Wars character introduced in a sequel?
The poor people that weren't here for the conversation that led into this. So we'll drop you in on some McSauce talk.
What about the poor people that were here for it?
The three of us.
Yeah, I was here, and I feel like I'm lost. So
well, this started.
Hopefully we can all catch me up.
This started last week when Matt made a very salient point about the new characters that were introduced in The Last Jedi don't seem to have
The staying power of
a Lando Calrissian.
Who does?
Or a Boba Fett.
Who can keep up with Lando all night long, baby?
No one could. All night long.
All night.
But before we keep you up all night long, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Something to put you right to sleep. McSauce.com, the home of our...
Put that butt to sleep.
The home of our webcomics as well as our podcast. You can listen to our podcast a variety of different ways. You can go to Apple Music and you can download the podcast. You can listen to us on Spotify, Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, any kind of radio. Just type in MCSOSS. It is very distinct. There is no chance of you getting anybody but us if you type that in. Search us out on all the socials, just like I said, MCSOSS. We have a glorious TeePublic site back up and back in action. You can pick out any of the favorite three-headed t-shirts. You can also get a theater adjusted. Remember whenever we all went to theaters?
Oh, I missed the theater.
Oh, my God.
The theater.
What did you miss? What do you miss the most about it? Is the smell of the popcorn? Is it the crackling excitement of going to see a movie? Or is it the fucking knuckleheads talking all throughout the movie?
I don't miss dumbass moviegoers that need their head chopped off.
If you want
The experience. Just something different.
Something different. If you want to relive that feeling of just anger and hatred and wanting to take the life of somebody for talking on their cell phone during your favorite Avengers moment, well, TeePublic, McSauce, Theater Justice t-shirt, that's how you can represent that feeling of just blind rage, if you would like. We also have fun stuff like Surprise Cheese Talk out there. So if you want to get a shirt to commemorate the time that we talked about cheese for likely 45 minutes... Surprise
do
cheese
we,
talk.
Do we have a shirt that commemorates the time when we talked about fruit candy versus chocolate candy?
I'm sure that will... You mean the great fruit candy wars of 2021? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, was that this year? Or
that was like 3 weeks ago.
Who knows what time gives us anymore.
I would say stay posted. Currently, as you're listening to this right now, we don't have artwork for that, but we are artist inventive people, and we will post. I guarantee you that there will be a Candy Wars t-shirt in the future. So keep your eyeballs glued to TeePublic, and we will provide you with all the merchandise. You're not going out anyway. You're not. I know you. You're not going to work. You're not getting dressed up. You're not going out to fucking movies. You're not going to the bar. You're not going anywhere. So why not represent like some of our great fans? RJ out there, great fan. Surprise Cheese Talk t-shirt. A lot of other fans. I went home. Somebody that isn't a fan at all. My wife was wearing a McSaucetober hoodie the other day. And I was like, you never have listened to this fucking show. She's like, I was there for McSaucetober. So there I am.
That was the last time the public has seen us.
Nary a whiff of our
existence since then, yeah.
So, TeePublic, the home of all of the fucking t-shirt needs that you're ever gonna have, you pieces of garbage. You're not going out anywhere.
Not just
adorn
t-shirts.
Yourself with McSauce.
Not just t-shirts. Face masks. You can put our faces on your face.
I thought we've established these people aren't going anywhere.
But I mean, some people have to go somewhere.
Right.
Some people have to go. So why not
Cheese Talk face mask?
Yeah. Why not put my cheese on your mouth?
And they'll be like, and it's a great conversation start. I'm sure at these times you don't want to start conversation. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. Maybe you want to talk to the public. And they're like, what kind of cheese do you like? And they're like, isn't it clear? Swiss, motherfucker. Right?
Well, I mean, I would wear a Surprise Cheese Talk, which is adorned by Swiss. Probably the most recognizable cheese. But it's not my favorite cheese.
How dare you? It is cheese on site.
But we're not here to talk about cheese. We're here to talk about WandaVision to kick things off. What do you think Wanda Maximoff's favorite cheese is? Probably some weird Sokovian Mountain goat cheese.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Something that they only sell at Whole Foods.
Cheese. That some gypsy would sell like at the Sokovian.
Yeah, it's not. Can we say that?
Who knows?
Are they what magical Americans? What are gypsies? Did I make it worse?
Magical
Americans.
Homeless Americans?
Is that what?
Woodland Americans?
Magical Americans. That's amazing. nice pivot there, Mr.
I think I just came off watching Dr. Sleep, and I think Rose.
They were some magical Americans.
Yes, Rose the Hat's clan. They were on the road, and they were magical, and they epitomized gypsies. Yes.
Magical Americans.
Yes. I'm sorry. So we watched the last episode of...
Can we sell that shirt?
Magical
Americans.
Oh no. Who knows?
Round. Canceled immediately.
It would probably get blowback from multiple factions.
The nice thing about us not being able to be canceled is, like, you have to have fans first in order to
You
get
have
canceled.
To be activated before you are canceled.
That's right.
So we all watched WandaVision, and there was a pretty, well, there was a reveal at the end of this episode.
Is there one more episode to go?
Two more.
So there's going to be 9 episodes total.
Yes.
Okay.
Two more. We got a reveal at the end of this episode. This episode was the Modern Family / Office episode. The Wanda and the kids at home was Modern Family. Vision and Darcy off at the circus was, it felt very Office. And then we got the Agatha Harkness reveal at the end, which the worst kept secret in MCU history, because everyone kind of knew that.
Yeah, I don't know if I knew it was necessarily her the whole time, as the song says. I thought that Wanda was having some kind of breakdown. I guess it still could be this, but Wanda was having a breakdown that was being bolstered by outside forces. But I always thought that Wanda was the catalyst of creating Westview and sectioning off or siloing off this community, and then maybe there was some outside force that was reinforcing her, keeping everything shut in. But so that was a little bit of a surprise to me that it was Agatha all this time, or whatever the song says.
Agatha all along. What a great Munsters riff.
I was singing it for at least a half an hour afterwards.
Yeah. I was I guess, surprised that she's had a hand in why all this is happening, but just the fact that Catherine Hahn is Agatha Harkness, I'm like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I also think it didn't resonate with me because I don't really know who the fuck Agatha Harkness is. It wasn't like...
Me neither.
They were like, oh, fuck, Catherine Hahn's Ben Grimm or Doctor Doom or someone I know. I'm like, oh, Agatha Harkness is some Marvel character?
Yeah, I would say even Matt and myself are like, yeah, cool. A name that we like sort of recognize, but I don't think that I've read an issue with Agatha Harkness.
I can't remember having done that either. Yeah, it didn't mean anything to me in the context of the show, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool. So it's so we're not doing the Scarlet Witch is a villain, which to me is a bummer.
It was a letdown.
Yeah, I would prefer the Scarlet Witch to go crazy and be a bad guy.
It felt very much like in that moment, like I think the showrunners sort of presented it as like, oh my God, we just turned everything upside down. Isn't this crazy? I took it as, wow, you just majorly neutered this show. Everything pointed to the Scarlet Witch losing her mind over the grief of losing the Vision as her soulmate, if you will.
Hey, man, and don't air quotes that. She can have sex.
Isn't that the
soul
gem on him?
Yeah. Oh, snap. Play on words, Ian.
I know, yeah.
Time out, 10 minutes.
I thought that we were throwing shade on her artificial life mate there. But
no, but what are we pausing?
No.
Okay. So
yeah,
I meant Ian go to timeout for 10 minutes because he didn't understand Matt's joke.
Oh, well,
yeah, I'm not one that's like up on witty banter. So,
I was really hoping that it was Scarlet Witch was going bad. And then the mystery was like, why exactly is this happening? But now it seems like she is a pawn or a victim, just like the rest of Westview. And I am suddenly way less interested. And this goes back to the thing that I talked about after watching the first two episodes, guys. I said that I kind of want it to be a mystery that never gets explained, because when they do explain it, that explanation will not be as interesting as whatever theory we could have come up with ourselves, and we have been proven right.
See, I agree with parts of that, but I wish that it would have just been, oh, it was Wanda all along because Wanda is the bad guy. Can we not have a hero that is a woman turn into a villain? Is that not okay? Can we not do that?
I think there's still potential to have that, because like it can still very much be framed as Wanda loses her shit. Agatha keys in on this and is like, oh, I'm going to go use this to my advantage. And then in these last two episodes, Agatha gets her fucking doors blown off and Wanda is just completely unhinged. And then Agatha's out, Harwood's out, or, you know, the sword guy's out. Like, there's still potential for her to be the big bad.
What do you think the chances are that they do that? I think that's very low.
This
is the explanation to come swoop in and be like, see, she's not all that bad.
Yeah, I think in the greater scheme of Disney Marvel storytelling and how we need to protect our hero characters, like and we can't have one of our Avengers be a bad guy. So outside of like what could actually be happening, you know, from a like business standpoint, probably unlikely. But like, I mean, I think it would be cool if they give us a little shuck and jive here, and they're like, oh, it is Agatha, and then at the end we're like, oh fuck, we're in trouble because Wanda is off the rails.
It would be cool. I just think, especially since they made such a big statement and had a theme song attached to it, that I don't think that they're going to juke us. Although it would be really cool, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
So it also seems like Evan Peters Pietro is just
done.
Is just there for he seems to be Agatha's like familiar, just like a pawn for her to use. Like he's not. It, this isn't really a. Here's how the Fox universe blends into the Marvel universe. This just seems like a neat nod to those movies by using him, but he just seems to be a pawn, especially in the fucking stinger and the fucking credits. Motherfucker, you give me 7 fucking episodes of this show. You give me 10 minutes of fucking credits. I watch 10 minutes of fucking credits for 6 episodes. And then in the 8th, you give me a fucking trailer stinger? And I missed it. I had to find out on a podcast today and then go back and watch it.
I didn't know that there was a stinger.
I was going to say, I'm just finding out now. No wonder you're upset.
What was it?
In every single episode, I'm like, there's like 7 minutes left. Should I hang in there? Should I not? So what was it? Tell the audience, all of who did not see it.
Well, I mean, we have Disney Plus. Like, you guys can go watch it later. But what happens is...
The audience does.
There's always like 7 to 20 minutes of credits at the end, and around
the show
like
is 2 minutes, and the credits are 35 minutes.
Around like
last
around
on
like
WandaVision.
Around like minute 45 in the credits, it cuts back to, what is Photon's name? Why can't I think of her name?
Monica Rambeau.
It cuts back to Monica Rambeau, kind of snooping around Wanda's house. And like she goes to like try like the front door, she can't get in. She goes to the basement door. She opens like the cellar folding doors, and there's all these like glowing purple vines down there. And the camera looks up from the basement stairs, and all of a sudden, Evan Peters is behind her, and he says something like, "Oh, look at Miss Looky Lou." And then it cuts back to credits, or it turns to her face, and she has purple eyes.
Who's Evan Peters? Or
Quicksilver.
Okay.
Purple eyes, same that we'd seen. You know, Wanda's magic is red, Agatha's magic is purple, and it's the same purple in her eyes, and it's coming off of Quicksilver. So,
and then Monica Rambeau's eyes are blue. Everybody gets a color.
Yeah, but in that last moment, her eyes are purple, so you're led to believe that Evan Peters and Agatha Harkness now have control of, Monica Rambeau.
Okay, which is fine. Annoying character,
Take Monica.
Take her.
I can't. I don't get it. Like I scroll through my Twitter feed.
Photon, I'm like,
and it's like
never heard Photon. Never
fuck
heard.
Yeah,
of her.
Monica. Look at Monica doing this. Look at Monica doing this. She did this. She got her powers this week. Look at this. And I'm like, I'm more interested in Randall Park than Monica Rambeau. Like, I don't fucking give a shit about Monica Rambeau. I just don't. I'm not interested. I'm more interested in Darcy Lewis than Monica Rambeau. Like, I like Westwood
Darcy
or Harewood
Lewis
or whatever the sword guy is.
Killer.
The what?
Killer. I said Darcy Lewis in that circus getup that she was
busting
in.
Out of it in all the right Killer. Places, huh, Ian?
Holy smokes.
Yeah, Matt, Monica Rambeau. I don't care. I'm not. And there seems to be so much focus on like how awesome this character is and how great
ever,
she is. And
maybe
I'm like,
it's that I'm not a Marvel space person, but I don't ever remember reading anything with Monica Rambeau or Photon or I don't know. Not to say it's not a great character.
I actually read,
but I don't know
a bunch of those Avengers issues where. Something happens to Captain Marvel and Photon's here, and then she becomes Captain Marvel. And it's like, it always felt like
it's a cool costume.
Oh, you're the placeholder
has,
until the real one comes back. It's like, oh, you're Guy Gardner until Hal Jordan comes back.
But Guy Gardner was Green Lantern
right,
for
they,
like 10 years.
Yeah, but they all have their place
in
the lore. But like, whenever I was reading it, I was like, eh. Like I'll wait till the real one's back.
I was surprised to learn that Monica Rambeau did become Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel at some point in the lore. I think, was it in the 70s or 80s or something like that? So that's a little surprising. And the uniforms, like the outfit that she has is cool. But
I like her as Photon. I think her character as Photon is neat. It's different. She's her own character. But, like, I mean, everyone's just hyping this character in WandaVision. Yeah. And I'm like...
I'd be more interested in other parts of the, you know, the Fox MCU universe creeping in. I'm a little crestfallen that the Quicksilver seems like it's just like a machination of Agatha Harkness. Or whatever I said there. It stinks that it's just a familiar, a just made up sort of apparition or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be like just real in and out. It was a fun thing, but now it's over. So like that's a bummer. And like I did not like this episode. Like I didn't really like the first two episodes, and I didn't like this one either. And I really didn't like the Office riffs, and it's probably because I don't like
The Office.
So, like, I thought it was...
But can you parse that? Because you love Modern Family, and I think Modern Family is, like, just generic
I don't love Modern Family, but I thought both were done very well. And I did love the bit where Vision's talking to the camera, and then he's like, what am I doing here? And he stands up, and he bumps the boom mic. It was so funny.
Yeah. He's, like... Paul Bettany is amazing. How dare they not give him room in these movies to like stretch out? But I guess that's what.
Well, so much in the movies that.
But he like I guess his comedic timing and what he does best is not fit for the movies.
Well, he's so good in the comedic bits of this episode. But he's also good in last episode when he breaks through the wall and he starts to disintegrate and get pulled back. Like, I felt that. Like, and he's like, you have to save the people. And I'm like, oh my God, he is killing this.
Is he, when this is all said and done, is he going to be still dead?
I don't think that you can kill him after the way that fans have probably responded. I'm just talking in general. I'm just talking about the way that I feel about the character Vision now, as opposed to whenever this started. I couldn't care any less whenever this started. But now I'm invested. I want to see... Give me a fucking Vision movie. I want to see more of this character.
Yeah.
But directed by...
Agatha Harkness, I believe.
No, directed by the guy that did Freaks and Geeks. Why can't I think of his name? The guy that did,
Paul...
No, Paul Feig did Bridesmaids, but I'm thinking of the guy that did Superbad.
It just went out of my brain.
Jesus Christ. No.
I know. Yeah. I know you nerds. Yeah. I know you're screaming.
He's the guy that...
I know.
He did This Is 40 Adventureland.
No, he didn't do Adventureland.
Paul Rudd.
No,
that's an actor, not a director.
No.
Basically, what I want is I want Paul Bettany to be in a comedy.
Judd Apatow.
Yes! Oh, my God. Oh, we're terrible.
I'm sorry.
We're terrible. Podcast over. Yeah. McSauce is over. We don't deserve to do this anymore.
So you want to see a straight-up comedy. Well, not that this was a straight-up comedy because it was written by your favorite comic book writer, Tom King, but the Vision in the suburbs, I think they took a little bit of that and used it in WandaVision.
Yeah, and like I think it's been corny, and I'm with you. I couldn't have given a shit about these characters after the movies, but like, man, give me more of this. Like they've been so good. Like Paul Bettany has been just like I'm sort of invested in Wanda, but Paul Bettany has been so good going from the different eras of sitcom acting to when he breaks into the real world. He's talking to Agatha when she's in the car and he breaks out and like his concern is just saving the people, and then he doesn't know if he can trust Wanda, and he's gone through such a wide range of emotions in this show. He's that actor has gotten to do everything, and I think he's been exemplary at all of it. Like, he's been the core of this show, because like Matt said, are they going to kill him? And like, we know he's already dead, and are they going to kill him? And I think that really adds to how we feel about this character.
My theory is yes, he'll be dead by the end of the series, because like when he escaped Westview, he started to disintegrate because he can't exist outside of it. That's like my theory. What I was kind of curious about though, guys, like, do you think that if you went back and watched the Marvel movies again, would you look at his scenes in a new light, or would you appreciate them any more?
I think I would.
So this kind of changes the context a bit.
I think it changes every repeat viewing, even if it goes all the way back to Iron Man and you're listening to him as Jarvis. I think that that would affect the way that you see that performance.
Yeah.
Just because it has much more, it has more life. It has something behind it. It has like a real character behind it now.
It has a real soul.
Oh, did you get that one, Ian?
What do you mean? Like Soul Man? Like
Heal Your Shoe.
Yeah, like the movie Soul, like that new animated one.
And he even talks about it in the truck with Darcy when she's kind of explaining everything that happened. So, yeah, like, they're tying in all of that stuff as expertly as the Marvel Cinematic Universe does. So, yeah, like, I think I'd even watch Wanda's parts differently.
Well,
I think
Judd Apatow.
Knowing is trash as Age of Ultron is, going back and watching that now, Pietro's death would have a little more weight to it than it ever
had. The birth
ever
of Vision
had.
Would have more weight to it as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So,
what was the movie that had the stinger that first introduced Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver?
Iron Man 2 was Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
Were they in the same one?
Yeah.
I thought Quicksilver was...
No,
I thought it was the Age of Ultron.
I thought it was the Avengers.
I don't know which movie it was, but they were in
that's
it
That's right,
because
they were doing like testing on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Baron Zemo that's doing the testing.
Was it Civil War then? End of Civil War?
It was before
that. No. It was Avengers.
I think it was Avengers.
First Avengers,
yeah.
Okay.
Because after Avengers, I think we got Winter Soldier, we got Thor the Dark World. Great movie. and then we got our Iron Man 3, and then we went into Age of Ultron.
Ian, why don't you give me a final polynomics for this episode of WandaVision?
Final rating, I think, is what he's looking for.
Just a rating, because I can't be, I can't anticipate this.
You're right. Just give me a final grade.
This one probably a 6. It's fine. I was entertained by it. It was lesser than the one that came previous, which I would say had an 8. I was very excited by the Malcolm in the Middle episode. But this one, it was fine. 6. Matt, rating?
Probably a 6. Same Paul? Reasons.
Rating?
Please be a 6. 666.
Number
six.
Of the beast, 666. Yep. Yes. Yeah, like I'm conflicted.
You're also
because
wearing
I was
purple, the was, color of...
The color of the beast?
Yes, the beast.
I was I loved, man, I fucking love the Vision stuff. I love the Paul Bettany stuff, but overall I was just like, eh, it's fine. Kind of over those kids. Like, either like make them young Avengers or like fuck those kids. Speaking of kids, Robert Kirkman wrote a story about a kid that comes into his powers to live up to his father's legacy as Omni-Man. And that kid's name is Mark Grayson. And he stars in a little comic book called Invincible.
Yep.
Listeners, you may know Robert Kirkman because he created The Walking Dead, but he also created a pretty good superhero book called Invincible.
Yep.
Sort of some Superman-ishness to it. It's, you know, about a kid growing up in his teens and his dad's essentially Superman in the town. I don't know what the town is. What's the town called?
I don't know.
Supertown.
What a well-researched
and Mark Grey. Well, like we read these, but Ian, you don't remember.
I don't. You know, not to step on the bit here, but I don't like these books. So,
oh, we'll get into that.
I don't think we really need to. I think we've covered that. I don't like Invincible a lot. So,
I don't remember this. So we're gonna get into this just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I think it's Omnitown.
And it's about Mark Grayson coming into his own powers and trying to live up to his father's legacy. And there's a bunch of twists and turns in the story that I think were really well done in the comic. But I think, Matt, we briefly discussed via text earlier in the week. I dropped off reading the book because I was borrowing yours and you dropped off reading the book.
Yep. I can't remember exactly why. I didn't ever not like it. I think what happened was I fell behind, and then it became overwhelming to try to get caught back.
You were getting the trades.
Well, I had the trades, but I also have all the singles, too. It was one of those books that started in 2002. Wasn't that your first year buying comics, Paul?
2001.
Okay.
Very close.
In 2002, Robert Kirkman, I think, released both, I think it was 02, both The Walking Dead and Invincible. And one, the thing with Invincible was Image was trying to essentially re-energize their superhero line. So they came out with all these new superhero books. The only other one I remember, Ian, was Fire Breather. Do you remember that one about that kind of teenage kid that had little dragon wings?
No, who was the, can you tell me a creative team on that? Fire Breather. I don't remember that very vividly.
No, I cannot. Carl.
What I know about The Walking Dead was the only way that it was given a green light was that Robert Kirkman had told the publisher, I think it was Jim Valentino at the time. Yep. You know what? After a couple issues, there's going to be an alien invasion. And that's what the hook of the whole story is that it's an alien invasion. So it sounded more traditional superhero-y, comic book-y, and they gave it a green light. And he was like, it's just everyday life of living in this world. That's what The Walking Dead really is.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. And, kudos to Robert Kirkman for pulling a fast one on Jim Valentino, the publisher of Image Comics at the time, because if he hadn't lied, there would be no Walking Dead, there would be no Invincible, and there would be no Robert Kirkman. I mean, I'm sure he would exist. But
I'm not so sure, but okay.
No, you wouldn't. So the Invincible comic started as part of this new wave to push these new superheroes at Image, and it was the only one out of, there was maybe five new books. It was the only one that really stuck. And what's cool is that it's a finite series, even though it's a couple hundred issues or something, right?
I didn't know. I guess I knew it was a finite series. Maybe, I don't know how long it ran.
It was 160 issues or some. It was a pretty high number, and then they decided to end it. They Kirkman had a specific story to tell, and he ended it. I guess same way that he did The Walking Dead, right? So, what's interesting is that it seems like this cartoon series is going to just recreate the comics. Nah, I could be wrong. I thought that's what they were doing with The Walking Dead, and then Guess what, Ian? They didn't exactly do that.
Surprise.
Yeah, I feel like The Walking Dead recreated one issue, and then they were like, fuck this.
Yeah, right. Let's just do something completely different. We want.
But you're still watching The Walking Dead, right, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's not, like, it's not bad. Like, it's pretty good. Like, the
How
last...
How can you take the punishing misery of the Walking Dead TV series?
Like, because...
reading the comic books, you get a reprieve. You get... honestly, if you're reading trades, you kind of get, like, a trade and a half of just not fucking misery. Sometimes you get them just living their lives or whatever.
If you read the Walking Dead trades, they are cyclical. There's like your one trade is the setup. One trade is everyone's happy because you need to knock them down. And then the next one is they knock them down. And right, then it's three more trades of that. And then three more trades of that.
But that's a weekly the entire punishing thing. Schedule of like the we're series, bashing people's heads in. Everybody's
the series
dying,
is
like,
the
fucked.
Series is the series is so different because it has nothing to do with the book anymore. Like, it hasn't for a long time. And the show has had...
since the second episode.
The show has had ups and downs. Some seasons have been trash. Some seasons have been really good. I think it's kind of a bummer that... I think the last season, they really tapped into some new, cool shit where they're just free of any shackles. They can do whatever the fuck they want. And I think Andrew Lincoln leaving... Lauren Cohen leaving, it really opened them up to work with some other interesting characters they had on hand more and to develop other stories. Like, I think the last couple seasons have been really cool, but all of the Walking Dead hype is over. So, like, no one's really paying attention to that. These last couple seasons have been really good seasons. Now, it's been on for fucking ever. So, just like Supernatural. Love Supernatural, but some seasons are fucking trash. Same with Walking Dead. Like, they had a run of 2-3 seasons, not bad, but some seasons, like, bookending the bad ones are really good. And, like, right now, I think they're doing some really cool stuff. But we're not here to talk about The Walking Dead. We're here to talk about...
We're not?
We're here to talk about the lazy-ass animation from this
Ooh,
Invincible series.
Hot take. See... I thought that the animation wasn't all that bad.
I think it looks so...
It looks like the artwork in the comics, buddy.
It does, but it's not animated as well as it should be. Like,
really?
All the still frames, yeah, it looks like Ryan Ottley's art. But there, a lot of the dialogue, a lot of it just looks lazy to me. It looks half done. It looks like there's frames missing.
We said a lot of the dialogue. That isn't
no
animation.
But it is the animation, because there's plenty of animation that we've watched where it looks like, oh, that person's talking. And in this...
Oh, you're saying like the damn dog?
The lip syncing?
You're saying the lip syncing is there's bad some... in this trailer? Okay. Oh, I'm just saying, okay. Maybe you have a more... loving take on this property than like anything that we've ever watched before, but okay.
I'm not in any way beholden to Invincible, but I watch a lot of fucking animation, and this seems like they're mailing it in. Like, you watch this trailer, Ian, and you're like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, this is top notch quality.
I thought it looked really good.
Oh, what? Did you watch the same trailer that I watched?
I think I did. Also, you know, I mean, I don't care for this property, so it didn't stick out as something that was like an eyesore and the fucking words didn't match up. I'd challenge us to watch this again with that level of scrutiny and see what you're talking
Ian,
about.
Ian, I've watched this.
You sound like a maniac.
I've watched this trailer 3 times. And I keep wanting it to be better. I keep wanting me to be like, why don't I like this? What am I missing? What
and
am
that's
I not
what
understanding?
You latched on to?
And I,
wow,
I keep
wild.
Watching. It's not just some of the line reading that seems off. It like there's a turn in Omni-Man's face in one frame where like his features come after his head. Like there's just, it just seems like it could be better. It could be tighter.
Maybe I'm not as impartial as I should be. Matt,
maybe I'm not
like
explaining this well enough.
This sounds crazy to me, and maybe I did. You know what? Maybe I didn't watch it. Matt,
Paul's not totally wrong. The animation is inconsistent. It seems like it's blending a low frame rate of movement, like with the traditional hand drawn portion, with like a more CGI portion. So you'll have, there was one scene in particular where Invincible is flying toward the camera and it basically was a still that was just getting bigger and bigger as it like got closer to the camera. And it was clearly like, it looked like it was done using After Effects, very high frame rate, but it didn't gel with the rest of like the, what we were seeing. I do think some of the animation looked good. Like some of the punches that were thrown were, I think, a little bit reminiscent of some of those later DC animated feature films that they did, like Batman versus the Red Hood or whatever, which I thought had great animation with the fights. This had shades of that, but yet, Paul, like you were saying, like during dialogue sequences, it did feel incomplete. It felt like it was missing frames.
It feels very static.
Yeah, I think the best way to put it is sometimes it feels like it's missing frames.
There's, and like maybe this is just the way the scene happens or because of who the characters are, but there's the scene where the robot guy is talking to Mark, and if you don't know who that character is, when you watch it, you're like, wait, where's this voice coming from? Oh, it's the robot guy. Like, there doesn't seem to be the same smoothness or care in this trailer that I've seen in other properties, where it just looks better, it looks smoother, it looks more graceful.
Yeah, my hope is that this will improve, much like the animation in shows like The Clone Wars improved over time. If it proves to be successful, then, Paul, you might get your BPRD series, because I think companies, streaming services, are going to be like, all right, what else is out there? What can we make? What's a really hot comic book property that we can turn into a great TV show?
It's got a great voice cast.
Yeah, they were very proud of that. They flashed all those names up there.
You go through the list, and like I know every one of those names. As fast as I can read, I could read. I knew every one of those people. And it's almost like, oh, that's where the money went.
I wish the credits.
The money went to the voices and not necessarily the animators.
But one of the biggest names is J.K. Simmons. Paul, we talked about this a little bit through text, and I felt weird saying it because on paper, he seems like he's perfect for the role of Omni-Man. It didn't sound right to me. I think Omni-Man has, in my mind, a more booming, deeper voice.
Matt, I felt the same way, and you had the balls that I didn't to put finger to text and to actually say it. Because I watched that trailer a couple times, and I was like,
Clancy Brown is in this joint? Holy
Clancy
shit.
Clancy Brown's in every joint. That's who should have been fucking Omni-Man.
Zazie Beetz? Mahershala Ali?
So, yeah, I watched the trailer, and I was like,
John Hamm?
Mark Hamill, also in everything. John Hamm, his brother. Once they came to Ellis Island, they dropped the ill.
Ezra Miller. Ooh, that's a bad word. Ugh, I'm out. This podcast.
So, yeah, like, I watched the trailer, and I was like, man, something about this Omni-Man, I love J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons is great, but why isn't this working? And then you were like, yeah, it's because it's just not his voice. And I was like, oh, fuck. It's as simple as that. It's just not the voice that I've had in my head. Mm-hmm. And I always think about Josh Keaton as Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern animated series. Like, as soon as I heard him talk, I was like, oh my God, this is the voice I've had in my head for all of my years reading Green Lantern comics. This is what I was hearing. Like, this is, it is Josh Keaton. And yeah, it's just, J.K. Simmons is just not Omni-Man. As good as J.K. Simmons is, something about it just isn't quite there.
Yeah, it's not quite right. It's very difficult to exactly put your finger on, but I do think the voice needs to, it's the mustache that when I see it, it's like, oh, that's a deeper voice. But
mustache equals deeper voice.
Duh.
Everybody at home, everybody playing.
If you want to, if you want a deeper voice, grow a mustache.
It's as simple as that.
Not even just a regular, like a broom kind of mustache. It's got to go over the lip.
Right, it has to look like a comb.
And you can't have a beard connected to it.
Yeah, it has to be solo mustache.
That's
the
why
beard evens out the rhythms.
That's
of
why.
Your tone.
That's
the
why
beard,
Ian and
the
I
mustache condenses them.
That's why Ian and I sound like we're in teen transition because
we have
beards
beard.
Connected to the mustache.
Too much beard.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
So we're all gonna watch Invincible.
I know it sounds like we suspect.
Wait. All gonna watch.
I know.
Invincible.
Whoa. I'm sorry. Matt and I may watch it.
I will not.
No.
Ian, you get Amazon Prime, right?
I do free delivered hot and piping every day to my house, and I will be like, get out of here.
Get out of here.
The inverse, like inverse of Scorpion. Get over here. I'm not.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I love Pittsburgh combat. Get out of here.
Go downtown.
I wish I knew Mortal Kombat better so I could think of other sayings.
Toasty. So like it'd be
toasty.
Like toasty.
Pick your fighter. Who you's got? Oh,
who you got?
Scorpion.
You got Scorpion.
He's gonna say, "Get over here,
Goro."
So the perfect Sasside fighter.
Goro, wasn't he on a 74 Steelers?
I think so.
He's part of the Iron Curtain. Part of Forearm
Curtain.
How
dare
you?
Yeah,
how dare I? How dare I? Steel Curtain. Jesus Christ. Holy shit. So I think I'll check out at least season one of Invincible. I like just dipping my toes in a bunch of different things.
Yeah, I probably will actually get Amazon Prime for this.
Wow.
What is it? Does Amazon do season dumps or do they piecemeal this
shit
out?
They do the two, like, season opening, two episode dump, and then every week.
Okay, I'll wait until the show comes out, maybe do a trial, binge on it, and then dip. Because I really struggle paying for a service for one thing. But I will give this credit. It's making me actually sign up, even though there's nothing else that has piqued my interest.
So
like
you're not
this.
Interested. You were never interested in The Boys.
Not really.
No.
No. I thought the comic was. I find. Typically, Garth Ennis's storytelling to be kind of eye roll inducing for the most part. I liked Welcome Back, Frank, but didn't really care for The Boys.
I thought that The Boys started off very strongly, probably the first two or three years that it was running. I thought it was really good. I like that kind of storytelling. I like some of the gross out shit and some of the over the top stuff.
Invincible might be up your alley then.
You guys act like I don't own five trades of Invincible. I've read Invincible. I don't like it. I just don't. I don't know why I don't like it. You guys love it, it seems like.
I wouldn't say I love it. But I did like it quite a bit when it was newer.
I bought it begrudgingly because I thought that there was something that maybe I was missing out on. Can I just... I'll tell you this. The only thing that I've ever enjoyed that Robert Kirkman has ever written is The Walking Dead. I don't like anything else that he's ever written. And I almost feel like if there is a God, he touched Robert Kirkman and was like, here is the one thing that's going to be really awesome that you're going to write. And it was The Walking Dead. And every other property that he's written, I don't know if it feels like him or not, but it just nothing has ever caught my fancy. And I don't feel like that with any other writer in comic books, honestly. Even somebody like Warren Ellis, who is hit and miss with me.
Yeah.
Or somebody like, I'm trying to think, there's one other example. Who's the guy that writes Black Science?
Remender.
Yeah, Rick Remender. So Rick Remender, ups and downs. Maybe I like three things of his and hate five things. But it's there is a steady flow. With Robert Kirkman, I only like one thing. And I like it a lot. I like the Walking Dead comic series a lot. But mm-hmm. I hate everything else that he's written.
See, I like Kirkman stuff quite a bit. But whenever I read Kirkman, I feel like I see so much Eric Larson influence in the way that he writes character interactions and things like that. So
well, there's a reason for that.
What's the reason?
Because he is a super fan. And didn't he famously drive Eric Larson from like airport or something like that?
Whenever? I think that's how he got his chance with Image Comics.
And he made a comic book pitch to him. And I don't think it necessarily resulted in like, hey, you're hired, kid. But I think like a year down the line, somebody was like, hey, remember that crazy fucking dude that was talking to me in the
You know car? how he truly got his foot in the door?
I do, but why don't you tell us?
Paul, he used to be a regular letter writer to the Savage Dragon back in the day. I know
that. Near and dear to your heart, because who else is a letter writer to Savage Dragon?
I am. So every week or every month when Savage Dragon would come out, there would be literally at least four full pages of letters, sometimes as many as like 8 or 9 pages of letters. The back of the book wasn't filled with ads and that kind of crap. It was just fan mail.
Back in the 90s, motherfuck. So you wrote, but you read as well. I never read that
shit. I read every letter and every response to every letter. And then I probably read it again twice until the next issue came out.
This is a proto-internet, though. It was the only way fans could talk to one another.
Yeah, and the first time I wrote a letter, I was 14 years old, and my letter got printed in Savage Dragon number 10.
Were you writing under a pseudonym, or was it Matt Cassell?
It was Matt Cassell, and Eric Larson responded. I put like 5 questions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he responded to all of them.
Do you remember what your questions were?
I do. I asked why was...
Can you say it in your 14-year-old voice?
Well, Mr. Larson, I noticed that you gave Savage Dragon a right hand, even though in the last issue it was actually blown off. What's the deal?
Do you not read your own comics that you write? Did you really write that? You fuck.
Just, okay. So, what else did I add? Oh,
no, you don't have to do it.
I was not a fan of his girlfriend, Rapture.
Her boobs aren't big enough.
I always wanted him to...
I don't see any pussy hair out of her panties.
And then Eric Larson was like... You don't read my comics?
Sit.
Of course
Eric
you
Larson
see.
Was like, stick hold my kid. Beer.
Eric Larson was like, I clearly have a pussy lair.
Eric Larson was like, there was Mr. Cassell, this episode she had just shaved. Give me 5 episodes and you will get your wish.
Are they issues?
Sure. He's making...
Not the point of the
bit. He's making TV.
Eric Larson created a character... that had a head that had like a penis tip on the top of the head, but the face was a vagina. Just
I mean,
craziness.
Avant-garde stuff that we're talking about.
Here. Yeah, very sophisticated comic book creating.
The kind of stuff that would go on to, you know, cultivate a fan base like the McSauce podcast that would go on to dedicate entire exclusive episodes to layers of art that would be just like the front pussy lips, the back pussy lips.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean...
And if you don't know what Ian's talking about, sign up for the Patreon.
Subscribe now, and we'll tell you all about it. But Eric Larson, true innovator.
Yeah, and he was a giant influence on Kirkman, and being a giant fan of Larson, that's, I think, why Kirkman's writing right off the bat resonated so much with me, both in Walking Dead, Invincible. That's why I bought those, like, the first issues of all of his books when they came out, because I was like, oh, I recognize this guy. He writes the letters. This might be pretty good. And I liked it right from the jump.
So you're in. Paul, you're in. So
I'm going to watch it. And Ian will...
March 23rd,
you guys can tell me all about it.
Ian, we'll give you a blow-by-blow, week-by-week.
I bet it will blow.
See how it goes.
Every week.
We're running a little long in the tooth. We don't have a lot of time to get into... Star Wars sequel character talk, but why don't we just go around the horn real quick and tell who each is our favorite Star Wars sequel characters. Which character introduced in a sequel movie is our favorite?
Be more specific. When you say a sequel movie, you mean episode 2, episode 5, or episode 8?
Yes. Yes. Who do we love? Which character love the most from the middle episodes?
It's The Empire Strikes Back, and they introduced Lando and Boba Fett and
nope, Matt, you're wrong. It's Yoda. It's episode 7, or no, it's episode 8, and it's Admiral Holdo. That's the answer. That's the answer. She could
it was Holdo all along.
she could have stopped all of the drama in the middle of that movie by just sitting Poe down and being like, hey, this is the plan. Don't freak out. But she didn't. She purposefully kept him in the dark and caused her own mutiny. So, yeah, Matt, the real answer, it's Lando Calrissian.
Well, I think it's Yoda. I think Yoda
is... Oh, fuck! You're right.
Yeah.
Well, personal favorites. I think I'm going to go Lando, but Yoda's fantastic.
Yeah, I like Lando, but he can't beat Yoda.
So good.
For a long time, man, it was Boba Fett for me. I think that's worn off over the years, but Boba Fett for probably 25 years of my life.
And do you think
my favorite Star Wars?
Do you think if he was still? Do you think if he wasn't fat now, you'd still like Boba Fett?
You know what? I didn't even think of fat Boba Fett. That soured me on Boba Fett. It was just the popular take on Boba Fett. Just so many different versions, and he's always in pop culture. And now you like him. Here's his fucking dad. Same outfit. Like
his dad. Here's Omni Fett.
Yeah. Like it was just too much, and I. Just like the cool character that was kind of in the background and had sort of people understood that he was a menacing character, but you didn't actually really see him do anything all that
and
menacing.
And what you did see was like he got...
A little embarrassing.
He got the crap beat out of him by...
He got pantsed.
By Luke, and then Han, blind Han, knocked him. As established in Marvel Comics Star Wars, like the relaunch of it, apparently, blind characters are Boba Fett's Achilles heel.
It is his, it's his poison. But Boba Fett, whenever I think that I was like 2 or 3 years old or something like that, I must have liked Boba Fett so much that my mother took the cake mold for, I think it was a Darth Vader head cake mold, and like colored it Boba Fett colors. So that I would have a Boba Fett cake as
That's
a
awesome.
3-year-old.
And you were like,
shout out to Mom.
And you were like, Mom, this is just Darth Vader with Boba Fett colors. And you swiped the cake off the table. and onto the floor, and you stormed out of the kitchen.
Much like the dummy that I am now, I don't think I noticed, so it was fine. I don't know that how she would get the... There's no photographic evidence of this. This is all hearsay. I was 3 years old, but I don't imagine those flavors of like gray and orange tasting very good either.
Did they even make those in the 80s? How did she get those colors?
I don't know. My mom's a creative person, so I think that she probably concocted those colors at some point. So yeah, Boba Fett. As I got older, Lando, yeah, but Boba Fett.
That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Max Sal.
We'll see you next time.